Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Darden MBA, and you are listening to a new episode. So in this episode of the podcast, I'd like to feature a conversation I recorded with Aaron Tolini. Aaron is a first-year student in our program in our class of 2020, and she and I recently sat down to talk a little bit more about why she decided to pursue an MBA, what led her to Darden, and what she's enjoying about the program so far and how she's juggling the time commitments of being a student and a mom and starting her own business. I think you'll enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Aaron Tolini. Aaron, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So for our listeners, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Where are you from? What did you do before coming to Darden?
Sure. So I originally grew up in West Virginia and Kentucky. I went to law school at Fordham Law in New York City, and then I worked on Wall Street for about 6.5 years doing corporate law at a big law firm, and I really enjoyed that. I got a lot out of it. I felt like it really honed a lot of my skills and certain skill set, and it was a really good experience. And then I had kids, and my husband and I we had moved to California, and I was out there for 9 years. And I didn't really want to do big law practice when my kids were little, so I decided to get involved in local politics. And I was on my town planning commission for a while, and then I ran for town council and did that for 4 years. And I was mayor for a year right before we moved back. And then we moved back east last summer. And here I am.
So let's talk a little bit about being mayor. It's a little different than being a lawyer.
Indeed.
A big Wall Street law firm.
Yes.
What was great about that job? What was challenging about that job?
As mayor?
As mayor, yeah.
I really enjoyed being mayor. The challenging part was it's impossible to get anything done and please everyone all the time. So there were definitely some things I wanted to get done, and I did, but that also made some people upset with me. So it can become personal. I had people write letters to the editor saying, who does this woman think she is? And she needs to stay home with her children and stay out of, things like that. But then on the flip side, I'd be in the grocery store and have people come up to me and say, don't let those letters bother you. I love what you're doing. And so I really, kind of got both sides of that. But it was a challenge. But what I loved about it is it was a small town, about 9,000 people, Tiburon, California, and it was a great community. A lot of people were very involved, and it was just really fun to take what was best about the community and try to improve it. And we did some cool things, like start a bus program that wasn't running at the time when I started because there was a lot of traffic on the main boulevards, and we passed some of the tightest gun control legislations by a municipality in California at the time, and I thought that was the right side of history to be on and things like that. So in the end, I thought it was a really great experience, and it also definitely helped me develop a different skill set as a politician trying to gather consensus and get things done in a different way than you do as an attorney. So that was good for me also.
Ambitious agenda for a small town mayor. And so I can understand how it would be challenging to do something that not everybody's going to love, right?
Right.
That's hard just as a human being.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you had some practice with that. So you moved east.
Yes.
You're now here in the D.C. area.
Yes.
And how did you think through the decision to go back to school and get an MBA? You're already a lawyer.
Right.
So you're back for more school. How did you make that choice?
So, I was at a point where my youngest daughter is in first grade now, and I realized, this is my time. I can go now and have time to dedicate to what I want to do next. What do I really want to do next? And I sat down and thought about, do I want to go back to being a lawyer? Is there something else I'd rather do? And I've always wanted to start my own business. I've always had kind of an entrepreneurial bent and a thought that at some point in my life I would start my own business. When I was a kid, I had a lot of little ventures running at all times, and so I really felt like this is a time where I'd like to start my own thing. And even though I feel like I have a lot of skills from being an attorney that will be helpful in that way, I also felt like there are things that I would like to learn in school that I'm sure I could learn through trial and error starting my own business, but I'd like to get the professional kind of groundwork. So that was probably 50% of my rationale. And then the other 50% of my rationale is I really had an extensive network in California, and I had a lot of people who I relied on for a variety of different things. When I needed something, I had my go-to people, and I don't have that here. And so I really wanted to meet people and have a network and get involved with people that are doing a lot of different things and are, you know, wanting to expand their horizons also. So.
Yeah, it's always a debate in the entrepreneurial community, an MBA or no MBA. There's different schools of thought on that. And one school is, listen, you could learn all this the hard way, or you could just take a couple of years, you know, get a good solid business foundation, get oriented in how you want to think about, you know, solving business problems and leading and all these kinds of things that ultimately have impact and value for entrepreneurs. And so obviously you chose to get an MBA. And how did you choose, Darden?
So there basically were three schools that I looked at. I wanted to stay in the D.C. area, and I looked at the entrepreneurial offerings of those schools. I looked at the statistics of how many students graduating from the program started their own business and how much funding they received, and Darden was at the top. And also I looked at just basically the discussions of the different curriculums, and Darden is rumored to have the toughest curriculum. And I thought, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to challenge myself. This is for me. I'm not doing this because I want a certain GPA and I want to get a job in a certain place. So I want to get the most out of it possible. So I chose what I considered to be the toughest curriculum and the best professors. And so.
Yeah, that's something that we talk with a lot of prospective students about, because Darden does have that reputation of, actually, you're going to really be challenged here,
right?
And that's why people choose this place, as you note. But when you're thinking about managing busy life and work and, you know, family and personal commitments and school, it is something that ultimately folks have to think through.
Right.
How did you think through all of that?
Generally, I'm a fairly good juggler, so I figured, and I've done challenging school before. You know, I really wasn't scared of hard school because of law school. And I really enjoy school. I like to learn, and I like the process. So it didn't really scare me. I think I should have been a little more scared than I was. we've just done a couple of weeks, but it's been a lot of work. But then again, it's also just been very rewarding. It's something that now when I have, you know, this a lot of time that I spend with my kids and I don't look at anything else, I'm just spending with my kids, I enjoy it because that's what I'm doing at that moment in time. And I have this other thing that's challenging me when they're at school. And for me, it's kind of brings a richness to life when you're doing a variety of things that are challenging you and making you feel fulfilled. So
and I always stress when you get started here, it's about as hard as it's ever really truly going to be, because you're learning so much new stuff.
Right.
And you start off with two pretty challenging classes, economics. Well, this is the case for your class and past classes typically have some hard classes out of the gate,
right?
Because they are foundational, right?
Right.
So economics, decision analysis, it's not easy.
Right.
You're also learning how to be a successful student at Darden. What do you need to do? What's important? Maybe what's a little bit less important, right? That prioritization. So that's also challenging.
Right. And personally, my school background is kind of all liberal arts. I had a communications undergrad, a law school degree, and though I did work with finance as a lawyer, my schooling did not lend itself to, I never took an economics class or anything like that. So for me, it's been a little bit of a learning curve just to teach myself Excel and things like that. So.
Yeah, we get that question a lot from folks, like, I have not taken a lot of math.
Right.
You know, I haven't done a lot of traditional business type things in my background. And people are always wondering about how that plays out. And there is a learning curve,
right?
Particularly with a course like decision analysis, which is going to be heavy with Excel work,
right?
So it's typically one of the things we suggest is if you can brush up on Excel,
right,
you know, try to. But, you know, it's hard to have as much practice as you ultimately might need for the program.
Right.
So knowing that you're a mom and you got kids, how did you think about juggling those commitments?
You know, I think it's important. I have two daughters, and I think it's important for them as they grow up to see me, first of all, doing something that I enjoy and being fulfilled and happy. And secondly, seeing me doing something that they can be proud of. And they were so proud of me when I was mayor. It was so cute. They loved it. And they would, you know, they still tell their friends, here, my mom used to be mayor. And I'm like, shh, they don't want to hear that. But it's cute. But to me, that's kind of, it's important that I continue throughout their life to be a role model in pursuing my own objectives, my own goals. And, you know, I've never, and I had a great time when I was, you know, home with them a lot. And that was important to me too. But it, like I said, it hit a point where I was ready to do the next thing. And I want them to see me always pursuing what I feel like is the next best right thing for me. So, you know, I try to balance my time so that I still have plenty of quality time with them and they don't feel neglected. You know, this weekend I was here and they were like, Mom, when are you coming home? So it's not that it doesn't affect them, but I think that, you know, I've built up enough equity with them over the years. They know I'm coming back, so it's okay.
No, that's right. And the parents that I've talked to about balance in the program and in time management do say that it's unusual, but you find yourself putting on your schedule and like blocking out time for family and for personal commitments and things like this because you're now doing a third thing.
Right.
You have your work, family, and school, and you really have to be disciplined and thoughtful about how you manage your time in a way that maybe you wouldn't if you were only doing two of those things.
Right.
So what's most exciting to you about entrepreneurship? I'm acknowledging that you have a political background, you work for a law firm. Now this is sort of a third thing for you.
Yeah, so I've always been the type of person that when I basically enter any arena, I walk into a restaurant and I'm like, if I own this, what would I do differently? Or almost every place I've ever worked, I thought, if I were in charge, how would I change this? And it's just, I don't know, my mind kind of works that way. And I also, like I said, I really enjoy juggling a lot of things at once. And I think starting your own business, that's kind of what you do. You drive the bus, you're in charge of triage, you're in charge of delegation, you're in charge of kind of seeing the big picture. And that's something that I haven't done yet. I haven't been somebody who, you know, I decide where this bus is driving. So I just have always, like I said, from a young age, thought it was something I would do someday and have always wanted the challenge of that and see if I can do it. So, yeah, I'm excited about the prospect.
And this is the golden age of entrepreneurship, so people say. This is, you know, it's interesting to think about where things are going, you know, in the future. I think a lot of people will be working for themselves in a different kind of capacity. I mean, this is the age of the side hustle for sure.
Right.
But definitely, I mean, you think about the potential for entrepreneurship. There's a lot out there. So as we were talking before we started the podcast, you're sort of in this iterative process, talking with people, networking, having conversations. How's that going?
It's going really well. I really enjoy talking to people that are doing a lot of different things and have a variety of backgrounds and are thinking about entrepreneurship in different ways and how they have grown their businesses and how they're thinking about next steps and what they did to get where they are. And I just have a very natural curiosity about things. So for me to talk to people and hear their stories and their enthusiasm about fields that I have really know nothing about until I talk to them and learn about them, it's been exciting. And it gives me excitement about doing what I'm going to do next. And I'm always helps me generate ideas and it's good. It's been a good thing.
Yeah. So, I'll ask you the law school case method versus business school case method. How are they? It's still Socratic in nature, right? But I'm curious about how you find them to be similar and how you find them to be different.
I think the case method in general is the same. Mm-hmm. I think the content of the cases tends to be very different. Law to me came very easily. It's kind of a theoretical exercise where when you get it conceptually, it's pretty easy to explain, and quantitative stuff isn't necessarily the same for me. So it's a lot of running your numbers through and checking it. And so that plays out differently in the classroom. Also, it's like, oh, do you want to come to the board and draw this graph? And that looks different than explaining a case in law school. And then also I think a law school environment and a business school environment are different. People in law school can group together and get on learning teams and do that kind of thing. But it definitely, to me, felt a little more solitary. Like everybody was, you know, gunning for the best GPA. And that that hasn't been how I felt the experience since it started here. As you know, we're in a learning team of five people, and we're constantly on the phone and texting and trying to help each other out. And even people that aren't on my learning team, you know, we're sharing ideas and trying to make sure that we're all kind of on board. And so to me at this point, it feels a little more collegial. So,
yeah, no, I think that resonates with me. I think the Darden culture certainly is that, but also the executive MBA program. I mean, okay. I think when you come back as an adult learner, I think your perspective is a little bit different on your education. To your point, right? This is for you. This is not about getting the best GPA. It's about learning as much as you can and developing meaningful relationships with your classmates.
Right.
So for those students out there thinking through, gosh, all right, I've got a lot on my plate.
Right.
How do I even do this? What would you say? What would be your advice?
I mean, that's a fair question. I think you end up asking yourself that at any critical juncture in your life, right? You ask yourself that before you have a child. How can I possibly add this to the mix? Mm-hmm. Is this the right timing? You know, and it feels like it's never going to be the right timing. And I said that to myself when I went to law school, like, do I really want to do this now? And at some point, it's like, if this is something I want to do in life and this is a priority for me, my MO has always been, let's just jump right in and you'll figure it out as you go. And it doesn't always appear clear before day one how all the pieces are going to fit together. But I think that if it's a priority for you, and especially if you have support around you, people in your life that they understand why it's important to you and they're willing to help you out and support you. I mean, that's huge too, just having like that backup, and especially I think support in people's jobs and that kind of thing goes a long way. But I think if you can get that kind of to align at a time when you're really ready to do it, then you just kind of have to jump in and trust that when the time comes, you'll figure out how to keep all the balls in the air.
Yeah, I think there is that aspect of, like, you can think about this and think about this and think about this, but just get started with it, and it does move more quickly than you think. I think part of that's a product of you just don't have a lot of downtime when you're going through a program like this. There's not a lot of sitting around and waiting for the next thing.
Right.
It's always, well, we had quarter one, and now it's quarter two, and then we're moving to quarter three, and I'm getting ready to go on my global residency, and then I'm back. And so that also helps.
Yeah.
So, well, Aaron, thank you so much. And realize you just had a very busy residency. So thank you for taking the time out of your afternoon.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
And that was my conversation with Aaron Tolini, a member of our class of 2020. Of course, as always, if you have comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, MBA@darden.virginia.edu. Until next time. Thanks for listening.